Well, hello friends, it's Tom Elliott here and this is the Oh My Days Academy. Hope you're doing well. Well, today we're chatting money. I don't know how you feel about that word at the minute. Things are interesting in that regard at this moment in time. But today we've got a cracking interview for you with Dr. John Kirkby, CBE, the founder of Christians Against Poverty, who do outstanding work with those who find themselves in extreme financial difficulty. And John's great. Now, I don't know about you, but I, as many of you know, I'm a self-employed comedy magician, currently redundant comedy magician, because when all this kicked off, I had email after email after email after email from all of my gigs pretty much for the next few months cancelling. Now, thankfully, things aren't as bad as they could be, but I am having to be a bit creative and also tighten the purse strings a little bit. I mean, although who uses that phrase anymore? I'll tell you what, if you've got a purse with strings on that you literally have to tighten, I'd love to see a picture. So can you send me one on social media? That's Tom Elliott UK on Facebook and Tom Elliott _UK on Twitter and Instagram. That's two L's and two T's in Elliott. If you've got a purse with strings on that you literally have to tighten, I would love to see it. I mean, no one uses that phrase anymore. Surely that was about 300 years ago. But well, friends, we've got a cracking interview today. I hope this is of help. I realise things are difficult at the moment with particularly those who are self-employed or renting or any of those kind of situations. Things are tough. And so I've got a fabulous interview today. Really, it's just kind of flag waving of the organisation, really. Because they're doing some brilliant work. John said before we recorded, 7,000 clients they've got on their books at the minute. 7,000 of people who are in serious financial trouble. And so they do some great work. I know Martin Lewis, the well-known money expert, highly endorses these guys. And just to say again, Christians Against Poverty, they're rooted in what they do faith-wise, but John says this in the interview, you don't have to be a Christian or believe anything to engage with them. So this is a fabulous interview with the brilliant Dr. John Kirkby, CBE.
Yeah, well, I was born into a loving home. I'm a lad from Bradford and had a pretty difficult early childhood. My father became very ill. I lost my dad when I was 18, left school at 16. My mother had mental illness problems, so I kind of brought myself up from the age of 18. I was actually a debt collector, door-to-door loan salesman, a debt collector, and worked in the finance industry for about 12 years and was reasonably successful. If you'd have seen me in the late 80s, early 90s, everything looked great. But underneath the veneer, it wasn't great. I struggled quite a bit, to be honest, with life in general. I wasn't the husband I should have been to my first wife or at the time the father my girls deserved. I ended up getting into massive debt, failed businesses, and basically in the early 90s lost everything, my home, marriage, ended up, yeah, very, very poor, hounded, ironically, by debt collectors, and really, really messed up. And ironically, that was where Christians Against Poverty actually began. In the midst of this very traumatic time, I found faith, which had continued some 20, nearly 30 years later, had quite a profound effect on me. And over the next few years, just turned me from, being really focused just on myself and, how I could, succeed. I began to realize that perhaps I had some skills to help people whose lives were devastated by debt, because mine had been. So I got myself out of debt, worked through a system, met my second wife. We were about to get married, and I just felt a sense to walk away from my career in finance and start helping a few people in my hometown of Bradford. And that was 24 years ago in 1996. I had no idea that it would become the rather overwhelming thing that it has become over that time.
Because you're certainly national, but you've just branched out recently in recent years to international. Is that right?
Yeah, not so recent years, but we've... So in the UK, we've got 600 centres that are based in local churches. We have a workforce of about 1,000 frontline workers, 320 sort of employed staff by the charity, helping about 23,000 individuals whose lives are devastated by debt, poor money management, and all the trauma that comes with poverty here in the UK. And over the last 15 years or so, we've seen CAP expand around the world. So we're very big in New Zealand. We've got a great work in Australia, within every state in Australia. We've got a bridgehead into Canada around Toronto in Ontario. And just last year, we launched CAP America based in Chicago. So it really has gone way beyond anything that I would ever imagined when I signed my home office in Bradford 24 years ago with £10 going, I think I'll help a few people.
Absolutely. And you've recently had some TV exposure, which was great. Was it the BBC came and did a documentary on your work?
Yeah, I mean, they followed me for 16 weeks. I had a film crew with me for 16 weeks. I think I'd have known how intrusive it was going to be. I'd have done it anyway. It's just a chance to let people know what we do. They followed our clients. It's called Debt Saviors. They did focus on our faith, which is obviously our motivation and very much at the heart of who I am and who we are. But we were really pleased at the end of the day. They showed lives being transformed by our amazing team working in people's homes, bringing the amazing support, encouragement, and debt counselling to really give them a chance to see their lives turned around. So overall, an amazing exposure. And it certainly didn't do us any harm.
That's great. And am I right in you started the whole thing with just a £10 note? Is that right?
Yeah. So me and Lizzie were about to get married, and I just decided I was running a secured lending division for a large financial company. And I just walked into work one morning in March 96 and just had this sense, I'm sure other people have had it, where you just go, nah, I'm done. I just didn't want to do what I was doing anymore. I wasn't against what I was doing. I enjoyed my work. I was successful at it. But I just decided I don't want to spend the next 20 years doing this. I just don't. So that was an interesting conversation with my wife 18 weeks before we were about to get married. Hi, Lizzie. I think I'm going to give my job up and start helping the poor and needy.
Brilliant.
Amazingly, she just said, look, I'm marrying you, not your job. I'm not marrying for your future wealth, which was a good job because we lost everything.
Wow.
And so I just sat down at home and realized the one thing I really could do was help people whose lives were devastated by debt, who needed help and support in the, obviously I understood the finance industry, banking system. I understood how finance worked. I knew the industry inside out, but I also knew what it was to not be able to feed your kids properly, to live in one room with your kids on camp beds, to be abandoned by everybody. So I knew both sides of what it is to be in debt, but never, ever imagined that it would become what it's become. We just started, literally just started. And I shared it with a couple of people, a little lady called Avril, said, look, I haven't got much money, but I'd like to give you £10. And that began the whole thing. So I literally sat down and started it. Can't believe what we've done over the last 24 years.
That's incredible. And I've followed your work, and I've been to some of your centres in terms of I've done some performances and gigs for some of your centres, and just love it. Great. Brilliant. John, let's just dig into the problem of poverty a little bit and people in debt and financial difficulty. What do you find to be the regular causes of this? Because I'm very aware that, most people that listen to this podcast, I imagine, would see themselves as reasonably comfortable, it would appear, not at risk. But actually, all of us in some ways are just one step away, right?
Yeah, I think this is one of the really sort of misunderstood things. First of all, I completely understand how people would think why people get into debt. And the general sense is sort of poor money management, buying things they can't afford with the money they haven't got. What do we living beyond your means, that kind of thing. The truth is, the vast majority of the people that we work with, and we work amongst some of the most vulnerable and poor in our nation, it's really not mistakes they've made. When you look at the marriage breakdown, when you see mental health, when you see you know, illness, cancer, redundancy, unemployment, when you see the things that can come into anyone's life, when you see those hit people who don't have the, you know, they don't have the infrastructure around them, they are on relatively low income. You know, it is those things that tip people over. So generally, the vast majority of people come to us. You'd be hard pushed to blame them. But we would also say, you know what, if somebody's made a few mistakes like I did, which I'm sure we all do with money, people don't want someone to come and judge them for making mistakes, do they? I didn't need anybody to tell me I've made a few mistakes. What I needed was people to really reach out and kind of help me. I know what it is to be judged by people. I know what it is when you put things back at a supermarket shelf with two kids in a trolley, how people speak openly so you can hear them judging you. I know what it is for nobody to bother with you. I know what it is to have bacon sandwiches on Christmas Day with two kids. So I know what it is to be poor.
Right.
I know the guilt and shame. But that's not going to help anybody, judging people, is it? When you're in trouble, whatever your circumstances are, you need people who are going to reach into your life and not judge you. And that's one of the things that comes across with our surveys time and time again. We don't judge people. We're here to help people, whatever the reason. But predominantly, it's not things they've done. It's things that have happened to them.
Yeah, and that, you know, that was really clear on the non-judgment, lack of judgment was really clear on the TV as well. It clearly showed a really good kind of relationship with your clients, and I loved watching that.
Yeah, it's correct.
Can you give us an insight into the wider challenges that debt brings? I mean, you've already referred to kind of mental health, but the reality is that debt is more than just financial, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it was only that we had to sort out people's finances, if it was only that we had to ring their creditors up and tell them to back off collections, if we had to organise reduced repayments or access to insolvency services, if that was all we had to do, which is a huge task, if that was it, then, yeah, our life would be, and our job would be a lot easier, but that's just not how it is. You're meeting very vulnerable people. You're meeting people who are extremely isolated. And have no infrastructure. You're meeting people with a raft of ever-increasing complicated challenges in their life. The level of vulnerability has increased significantly over the last 5 to 10 years to such an extent that as an organisation, we are literally, slightly overwhelmed by the need for what we do, because we don't just do the debt counselling. We don't just stand between them and their creditors. We don't just stop homes being repossessed. We don't just do money education. We will invite people to come to groups. We will sit with them. We will have a coffee with them. We'll invite them into the local church, which is also a huge, huge welcoming place for so many people who have been rejected by everybody. So we get involved in lots and lots of things. And, yeah, I think people will be shocked to realise just what poverty does and the complex needs that people have who are struggling in our nation and other nations. But we'd also say people will be astounded to see the transformation that you can see in people's lives. Given time, resources, commitment and help, the vast majority of people can see a significant change in their life. And that's really the fire in our organisation. That's what drives us all on.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
It really works. You know, lives can be changed.
I've seen, I loved on the BBC TV clip, the way you celebrate when a client comes out of debt and your whole office just goes into a bit of a party mode, right?
Yeah, well, we see one person go debt-free every 35 minutes in the UK alone.
That's amazing.
Every working day between 10 and 12 individuals get a phone call to say they've gone debt-free. We also see people find work who've been unemployed for more than 2 years. We see people released from life-controlling habits. We give huge amount of life skills into people's lives. So it's not just the debt. But we have learned to celebrate because the work is so difficult, the challenges are so great. If you don't celebrate the successes, this thing becomes a little difficult, shall we say.
Absolutely. So, John, tell us a bit about how Christians Against Poverty helps. What exactly does it do? And then would you just share maybe one success story of recent times that you celebrated?
Yeah, so let me use the story of Rachel. Name changed, obviously. So, and my daughter's 15, and she came into the lounge this time last year. I burst into tears. I've got 5 children, 4 girls and a boy, and I kind of asked her why she was crying and what is it? she opened up that she'd been on the phone to her friend, who was also 15, who'd rung her up and said to Lydia, "I won't be able to ring you again because my mum can't afford to put credit on my phone, and she just told us we'd been over to the house. I just wanted to say goodbye, and I'll keep in touch where I can." That's a 15-year-old daughter ringing my door up. As you would imagine, I completely, I'm sure I broke many rules.
Yeah.
I just told her to tell a friend, to tell her mum to ring me, and she did. So I spoke to her mum. It was classic. She'd been abandoned, separated from her husband. She was working two jobs. She had a small amount of debt, but needed to provide for her two children. The interest added on, you can imagine, it just piled up. She's a single parent with two little kids trying to feed them. And finally, she'd run out of resources. She had no money, and she was being hounded at that time. I think it was the council tax that had broken, the straw that broke the camel's back. We got someone to see her within a few weeks. First of all, we let her tell everybody who contacted her that we were involved. Just telling people CAPS involved makes a difference. People will back away because we're well known in the industry.
Yeah.
Sent someone out to her home, filled in a budget, looked at it, realised that she needed access to some insolvency work, which she didn't know existed and couldn't afford. We did it for free. We filled the forms in. We helped her set up a budget. We helped her manage her money, setting up the proper accounts. We dealt with the bailiffs. We stopped her house being repossessed. And, she went debt-free. Took
amazing.
In that case, 4 months. It sometimes can be 3 or 4 years, but she was pretty quick. And you'd be delighted to know my daughter has got phone credit. They are in their home. They are secure. They have got food. And she has seen her life transform. And that will be one of tens of thousands of examples we have of the people that we've helped over the last 20 odd years.
That's so good. And just to clarify, you don't pay off debt, but you do the negotiation work and help make things easier, right?
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that. Yes. We never paid one penny of anybody's debt off. That's not what we do. We are empowering, we're educational. We stand between people and their creditors to negotiate interest charges to be stopped, to reduce settlements, and using all the insolvency opportunities that we're familiar with. And the whole thing is free of charge, delivered, to people in need. But we are occasionally overwhelmed by the need because it's vast. But we're continuing to grow our system. We're hoping over the next 5 to 10 years to get to 30,000 individuals that we can help from the 22,000 we currently help. So we're doing everything we can as fast as we can to reach as many as we can. But because of the scale of the need and the complexity and the costs involved, we have to grow well as an organisation, as a charity. We really have. But we're supported by tens of thousands of people who often give a few pounds every month and some give more. And somehow we've been able to grow this thing from £10 in a bedroom office over 24 years.
That's great. Amazing. John, let's just be clear. Obviously, you're Christians Against Poverty. You are what it says on the tin. Where does faith come into what you do? And for people listening that may be in a financial challenge, but not Christian, not of any faith, what might people expect if they engage with you?
Okay, that's great. Again, thanks, John, for letting me clear some of this stuff up. So we are indeed Christians Against Poverty. However, we help absolutely anyone, irrespective of anything, completely everybody. Nothing would stop us helping anybody. So people need to go online. We have a free phone helpline. We'll explain our service. If we have a centre nearby and we have space, we'll book an appointment. And in terms of our Christian faith, we are Christians Against Poverty. All our frontline staff are employed or volunteer for a local church. We're supported by that community to engage with people. We are and will offer to pray with people, which is one of the amazing things. When people are so desperate, the fact that you care enough to offer to pray for them often brings straight away just a sense of them not being alone, that other people care about them. And when you've been abandoned, knowing someone cares is massive. So we will offer to pray with people. We're extremely, extremely sensitive and completely understanding that, it is our role to help the poor first and foremost. But of course, as a Christian organisation, our faith is a big part of why we do what we do. And one of the wonders for me is that for many of our clients, they get introduced to a community who cares. They find out a little bit more of what real Christianity can be. and wonderful when people not only find poverty relief, but also, you know, find hope in a community through the faith that obviously transformed my life nearly 30 years ago. So that's what they get: complete understanding, total respect, openness, and yes, we'd probably offer to pray. But if someone ever said, that's not for me, they still get an amazing service to help them get debt-free, because that's what we are. We're against poverty.
Absolutely. That's really good. And again, just want to, if you haven't seen the documentary, if you're listening to this and haven't seen it, watch it. Because I think that really, I mean, they may have taken a slightly suspicious slant, but that still came across very clear that you're very open and respectful of that. Hey guys, I'm sorry to interrupt this interview, but unfortunately something happened to the system. It recorded the most of the interview, but then unfortunately it just stopped recording. But thankfully I was only on John's last couple of questions, and so I'll just step in now to sum up his answers to you. I asked him what advice would he give to people that are foreseeing some financial difficulty. Perhaps they hadn't expected it, and he would say that he said that they were overwhelmed at the amount of calls that they're getting at the minute. And so he said, before you call, go and talk to someone, talk to your wife or husband, talk to family members, talk to someone about your situation, and then work through, can you do anything about it? Can you work to a budget? Can you rearrange your budget in some way? Can you do anything to avoid this problem getting worse? And he says, if you get to the end of that and are still feeling stuck, still feeling bogged down and nowhere to go, then by all means, go on their website, give them a call, and they'll be able to help. So that was the first question. And then the final question that I ask a lot of our guests is, what does it mean for you to live life fully? And John responded really with the word gratitude. And he said that he's just grateful for the work that's gone with CAPS over the last 24 or so years, and grateful for his family, grateful for friends, grateful for his faith. And his faith was such an important part of his life, but also his work and what inspired and drives him today. So there we go. I hope I've done it justice, John, if you're listening back. I do hope you enjoyed that episode with Dr. John Kirkby, CBE. As I said, if it's helpful to you, if you need the support, then do find CAP UK online, and they will be of immense help to you, I'm sure. And what a great work they've done over the past 24 years or so. Well, thank you, John. And that brings us to a close of another episode of the Oh My Days Academy podcast. See you soon.